Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you believe the Lord is good, say amen. Amen. If you believe the Lord is good, say amen.
Amen.
If you believe the Lord is good, say amen.
Amen.
All right, quickly, can we open our Bibles to the book of Psalms chapter 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. He said, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. In verse 6, it says, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I want us to quickly go back to Psalm 91. I want to just point out, if you notice, has been our favorite psalms, these two. He said, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He said, he who dwells, I like the way King James says it because it makes it easy for me to explain. He said, he who dwells in the secret places of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Then I began to say a lot of things. If you now go down to verse 14, it said, because he has loved me, this was the Lord speaking now, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and let him behold my salvation. Or with length of days, I will satisfy him and will let him behold my salvation. That's Psalm 91. I just read verses 14, 15, and 16. Those are the last few verses I read there. Now, there's a reason why I read these two portions of the scriptures to bring out something that I want us to take as a matter of prayer for this evening. Now, there is something that I've said again and again, but I just want to emphasize it for us in our prayer meeting for today concerning the matter of prayer. And I want us to do it after now. It's something you do all the time. If you read Kenneth Hagin, he will tell you about a prayer of consecration, which he said a believer must pray at all times. He's one person is teaching on prayers. He'll tell you there are prayers you don't repeat. It's called the prayer of faith and all of that, all right? Now, I use slightly different words for it. Prayer of faith, Elijah prayed it, and he prayed it several times. So it doesn't mean that, there's no prayer that's a prayer of unbelief. If it is prayer, it has, as a rule, it has to be of faith. Do you understand my point? So he said the prayer of faith will save the sick. What he was talking about there is prayer that is prayed with an expectation, all right? Doesn't mean that you never repeat the prayer. But what I'm just bringing out here is this. If you see, listen to Kenneth Hagin, he will tell you about the prayer of consecration. And he advocates that believers pray it all the time. There's something I just want to explain to us again so that we'll know it properly. I've said it several times. I just can't say it enough. Most of our prayer is designed by God for a particular purpose. Well, two things. Number one, there's a prayer you pray for yourself. That's what I'm talking about now. If you pick that first prayer you pray for yourself, most of the prayer you pray in that regard is designed for just one purpose. And that prayer is a prayer of purification. Do you understand my point? You know, the way we have behaved in contemporary Christianity, we have prayed as if our main prayer is supposed to be for things that we want, things that we need, issues out about us. But if you look at the scriptures well, that's really not what is going on. You will notice that what the Bible emphasizes is your relationship with God. You will see, like I say all the time, when Balaam tried to curse the children of Israel and he couldn't, they were not praying actively. Do you get my point? It was because they were walking in righteousness, in obedience to the laws of God. Therefore, the curses that Balaam wanted to put upon them did not work. Do you understand my point? Therefore, what was the problem when they finally had issues there with Balaam? Balaam advised Balak, and Balak tempted them with sin, and they fell into iniquity. And that temptation was what brought down their downfall. It wasn't because their enemies were strong. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Therefore, when Jesus was teaching disciples to pray, there was one line he put in there. He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, I'm bringing out an issue. one of the most important, if the very most important prayer, the very, very one, the most important prayer you pray as a believer, which you will pray continually, is that prayer of dedication to God. Now, if you see, I read these two scriptures to bring out an issue. You see in verse 14, he said, because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. Now, it's okay to pray for deliverance and repeat the words of God concerning your deliverance. But you see that God predicated his deliverance upon one thing, the love that he has for me. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That is the love that we have for Christ Jesus, the love that we have for God, which is shown by our obedience to his word, is what determines, all right, how he relates with us. You know, I told you I'm going to talk about how to walk for God. You know, maybe we'll leave it to the early next year. But we'll discuss that then. It's very, very important. The way by which we walk for God, all right, is first and foremost a walk that is inside. It's not a walk that is outside. So people, when they want to walk for God, as to matter as a way of getting favors from him, they labor outwardly. But that's not what God is saying. He said, this is how you will labor for me, and I will be favorably disposed towards you. You labor from inside. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, so David says something here. Because he has loved me, was prophesying. And the Lord said, because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. So the things I'm bringing forth into his life is a result of the love that he has for me. So we read from that Psalm 23. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. That line is very crucial. The Lord is my shepherd. That is why I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. It's the reason why he makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. The Lord is my shepherd. It's the reason why my soul is restored. The Lord is my shepherd. It's the reason why he guides me in the paths of righteousness. Or let me say, that's part of, he's guiding me in the paths of righteousness. It's part of the fact that he's the shepherd over my life. Now, if you notice something, we said, if you now read the rest of it before I go to the other thing, everything is tied to that the Lord is my shepherd. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? There's one story I told in one of my books. I don't know which one of them now. I read it from R.W. Schambach. A child was told to come and recite Psalm 23. And he got up and said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. Do you understand? He's supposed to be, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the young girl said, the Lord is my shepherd. That is all I want. And you know, and that's so true, all right? R.W. Schambach has a book like that, The Lord is my shepherd. Now, the young girl missed the letters, but she actually got the spirit. That is, once the Lord is my shepherd, every other thing is added. I will discover that I'm lying there in green pastures because the Lord is my shepherd. I will discover that even though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. All right? Because the Lord is always with me. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. That is, well, I'm trying to bring out an issue here. In everything, all right, what is more important, most important, is the consecration that we have made to God, all right, in our lives. You see, if you take a place like Psalm 25, you will see that David will keep on praying, to thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Those kind of prayers that is always consecrating himself. In Psalm 121, he said, well, most of us read it like this, I will lift up my hands today, from whence comes my help, or from whence comes my help. I've read the theologians analyze it. It's that people read it wrongly. That what he was actually saying is that, will I lift up my head to the hills as if that's where my head is coming, my help is coming from? No, my help comes from the Lord. I read analysis of it, all right? But the point is this, you will see, what he's saying all the time is that, my help comes from the Lord. As the master looks at the servant looks at the hands of the master, so our eyes are upon you, O God. Every time the man keeps on declaring his intention concerning his relationship with God. And therefore, you will see in Psalm 91, where we read, he said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, like King James says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What does the man do? He consciously dwells in the secret place of the Most High, and then he will discover that the cover of God is upon him. How does he dwell in the secret place of the Most High? He said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. I like the way my Bible said, he said, my refuge, my fortress. That is, I will say concerning the Lord, my refuge. I will look at God and call him a name. What name will I call him? My refuge, my fortress, my God, all right? In whom I trust. That is what I call him all the time. Is my, how I call God, how I look at him, is what determines where I am dwelling. I hope you are following my point. So, how do I do it? I consciously say some things. And I find that by doing that, I'm dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, in the secret place, like King James says, of the Most High. And then God now spreads his cover over me. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. I'm bringing out something because that's the prayer I want us to pray first. There are two prayer points where I want us to pray today. First is this, our personal prayer again. But this time around, I want us to limit to the matter of consecration. That is, see, I'm sorry to say, most of the prayers we have been praying in modern days in Christianity, they are not evil in themselves, but they are wrongly placed. Do you get my point? We tend to focus. If we gather to pray for 1 hour, all right? I remember somebody told me, my wife and I once, that they went for a prayer meeting and they had 490 prayer points in one night. I wonder whether they are up to 490 problems in life. 490 prayer points in one night. Ah, as a high and I take manage. But this is the point. If you go analyze the prayer point, one will be against the enemies that are chasing, and then the enemies that are pushing, another one against the enemies that are threatening, one against the enemies that are harassing, one against the enemy that is about to catch you, one against the enemy that tried last year and is about to come back again. Or 490, maybe 50 will be against certain groups of enemies. And that 50 against diseases. And that 50 against poverty. And that 50 against lack. They are the same thing, but don't matter. So if you have to make 490 prayer points, you have to break them down very well. At the end of the day, you've discovered that the ones of consecration are probably limited to like 2 or 3. It has wrongly affected our mentality, our mindset. But believe me, the prayer that we are supposed to pray, first of all, as believers, and pray all the time, is that prayer of what? Consecration. That will be found pleasing to God at all times. That's the primary thing. So when David sinned in Psalm 19 and 51, you see the way he began to pray. He prayed for to be reconciled. He prayed to be cleansed from his iniquities. And listen to me, as believers in Christ Jesus, if anything goes wrong in your life, the first thing you do, all right, is look up to God and call him a name. You know, you understand what I mean? My help, my fortress. Then after that, you confess every thought that's wrong in your life. Sometimes, you know, you may not consciously know something is wrong, but there's something we must pray at all times. And I told you before that if anything, anybody does something that is wrong around me, one of the first things I do is to quickly do a quick assessment of myself, whether I don't do something like this, maybe in a smaller measure. Are you getting my point? I may not do it so brazenly, okay? But at least in a smaller measure. And no matter how mild it is, I quickly confess that to God. Because you see, once you constantly do that, what you are doing is that you are causing the glory of God to be automatically revealed in your life. Do you get my point? Therefore, let's not forget. When you wake up in the morning, before you bless the day, bless your relationship with God first. Call him a name. The God who I serve. I said before, the purification of motives is about the most important thing you can do concerning ministry in life. When I say ministry now, I don't mean preaching ministry alone. Business is a ministry, all right? Being a good husband is a ministry. Being a good wife is a ministry. Raising children is a ministry. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. It's a ministry, all right? Ministry of the word, like we are here discussing the word of God, is also a ministry. I hope you are following that point. All right, so when we purify our motives, and purification of motives is not determination. You can't settle down and just determine, I have determined I will never do this. All right? That's where it starts from. You take determination to God in prayer. Are you getting my point? What you do is you confess. Once you make confessions to God, then his spirit is automatically poured into you. So you say, my fortress and my refuge. You call him a name, and then he spreads his wings over you. Are you getting my point? So that's the first prayer point I want us to take this evening. All right? I want us to take that prayer of consecration. I'll ask my wife that she will lead us in that. We'll take the prayer of consecration again. It's just very important. Because when you know, there's something that James said. James said, any man who can control his mouth can control his whole life. And that's what he said. Any man that controls what? His mouth, his tongue. He said he can control his whole life. He can control the things that are happening around him. The mistake we make, all right, is that we want to speak directly first to the things happening around us. Now, you know, life is in stages, I told you. Like Jesus said, have faith in God. And what did he do? He cursed a tree. And when they say, the tree is dead, you know what he said? Have faith in God. He didn't say, learn how to curse trees accurately. Have you noticed what I'm saying? That was not where it's from. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. He said, this is in response to something that he did in cursing a tree. And then he said to them, have faith in God. That is, my power didn't start with talking to the tree. Do you get my point? He started first concerning my faith in God. I like one thing the teachers of faith taught us those days. He said Jesus lived his life in Psalm 23. That he constantly, all right, they had a reason why they said it. He constantly, what they were saying in effect, all right, operated the principles of Psalm 23. And what is the principle of Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I constantly acknowledge the fact that he's a shepherd over my life. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, when we say Jesus is Lord, and I told you that then when I changed my name, the name I bear now is not the name I was born with, all right? I woke up and determined to bear a new name in 1996, all right? And I had a reason. And my reason was that people say, it doesn't matter. My surname then is the typical African surname that's from a background of idolatry. And people say, it doesn't matter. I say, well, maybe to you it doesn't matter. But I will hate to have a son. I will be bearing my neighbor's name. That's my own problem. I don't know where you get to what I'm trying to explain. You know what I mean? He said, hey, who is this? He said, that's Akinlu. Akinlu who? Akinlu Chukwubike. What kind of joke is that one? I mean, it should be Akinlu Olusunna. You should know. If it won't be Olusunna, it should be Akinlu Banky. Do you get my point? It should be something. He's my son. So Jesus said, whose likeness and whose inscription do you have on this coin? And they said, it's Caesar. I said, that means it belongs to Caesar. That was my logic. So, I cannot be bearing the name of the person I'm not serving. It's not nice. And I knew I was going somewhere in life, and my name meant that a foreign and strange God has opened the way for me. And I knew that God has the responsibility to close the way until I realize who really is opening it. So I said, let me just avoid the wahala. All right? I don't want trouble. To avoid harassment, say, this name, I don't know where you came from. So I told my father, even you don't know where it came from. Your father gave it to you. So we discussed and said, look, you see, since we now have a new direction in life, let's bear the name of the person who's carrying us to where we are going. And that's why all my children are named after him. They all have a name that bears the name Olu, which is short for my Lord. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? So my name now became the Lord has opened the way. I hope you are getting what I'm explaining. What I'm saying here is this. As we go around every day, we make declarations concerning whose we are. That is, who do I belong to? When I'm going to work, what do I say about my work? It's very, very, very important. We constantly declare, and I believe it's the first and most important prayer that we are supposed to pray as believers. The last few weeks we prayed for about concerning divine health. We prophesied concerning what God is doing in our lives. That is true. But also, we must never forget to constantly consecrate ourselves to God again. I discovered one of the most important principles of the scriptures is what I call the 1 John 1:9 principle. It's from the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we shall confess our sins, it's faithful or unjust to confess, to forgive us of our sins, and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. What do I mean by that? As you go around every day, God has never told a man to try and change. What he said is the man should repent. There's a difference between changing and repenting. You know that. Change is to change your ways. Repent is to change your mind. You know what I mean to change your mind? You just change your mind. You change your thought patterns. You start acknowledging that this is wrong. He said, only acknowledge your iniquity. Most times, this is just by the way, before I drop this microphone and we'll go start praying. A lot of mistakes people make. And it's very common if you are rich. Rich men make this mistake a lot. Go and tell them that Pastor Banky says it's not necessary. All right? A man is very rich. He feels that he hasn't served God all his life, so he decides to start serving God. That thing is really a mistake. Now, you say, Pastor Banky, but serving God is good. I know what I'm saying. Let me explain it properly. So, it's very common to see rich people who suddenly become apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? They can't fund the ministry. Yeah, if you have too much money, you can fund any nonsense. Ross Perot was a very rich American. He used to say anything he liked anywhere. Started a shortwave radio just so he can criticize the government. Spent hundreds of millions of dollars, all right, in politics. Why? Because he said he doesn't like George Bush. He ran against George Bush because he could afford it. And he diluted George Bush's election enough to make him lose. That's the first George Bush, all right? To make him lose against Bill Clinton. Why? He has money. A lot of Christians also do that. They have money, so they want to serve God by force. they go to evangelistic fields where God has not sent them to. Why? They can buy the flight ticket. They can buy enough local people to do the work. Now, it's a very, very fine, a very difficult thing to explain to a lot of people. And I say, okay, what is he trying to do? He just is like, look, I'm 50 years old. I'm 60 years old. I didn't get to know the Lord until the last 5 years. So if I spent the first many years of my life making money, let me now use this time to make up for what I did not do before. And I've seen people, I don't want to mention him again, one of our brothers, you know, American preacher. Anytime I see him preaching, I say, bros, you don't need to preach. Because you went around thinking, in your opinion, you are doing it for the devil. You want to now do it for God. Mm-mm. What God is saying, this is what I'm saying. He said, don't do anything for me. Just acknowledge that I was wrong. Once you say, now, I hope you're getting my point. We try to pay God back. That's what he's not interested in. When a 50-year-old multi-millionaire gives his life to Christ, God doesn't see any difference between him and the 20-year-old poor student giving his life to Christ. The two of them don't know anything as far as he's concerned. The two of them can't preach as far as he's concerned. The two of them need to learn as far as he's concerned. He doesn't want worldly wisdom. He wants a wisdom that the Spirit of Christ breathes in you. So don't talk yet. When I see world famous stars show up on TV and start talking about the grace of God and share, my body starts getting, hey, they are going to spoil everything. They are going to spoil everything. Because the whole world knew you when you were singing and dancing half naked. Doesn't make you a good witness for Christ. You're not the worst sinner. Don't think if Christ can save a Hollywood star, what's the big deal about Hollywood star? It's not another sinner. It's just another sinner, my friend. There are local people in villages that are more wicked than you. And Jesus saved them. He's not brandishing them everywhere. I can do this one. I can save anybody if they will repent. I don't know whether you get one. You know the issue? Tell all of them, okay, just acknowledge you were wrong. And that's it. It's done. Then you now start from ground zero. You start learning. God will give you direction. If he needs you to spend money, you will discover over time. Don't try and pay him back. How do you get back to the right place? Just acknowledge. That's why I'm telling the whole story. He said, only acknowledge your iniquity. That's what God said. Only. Once you acknowledge, good. A spirit now enters into you and begins to change you. The process of change is only God that can effect it. I hope you get what I'm going to explain. You can't pay God, though. You can't. You don't have enough determination, enough will, enough money to do it. He said, only acknowledge. That's what we're preaching today. So what do? As part of our daily consecration, we acknowledge our iniquity. We don't try to change. See, now I've made up my mind. I will never do this again. Usually you will have finished doing it before you realize you did it. Then you go and pray again. Lord, I won't do this again. Ah, just watch me. Now I've made up my mind. I've got to say, watch. I cross my hand. It's after you have finished. You know, Peter, you know, which kind of test is worse than this one? They look and say, you will deny me 3 times. He said, more better. I'm not going to deny you. Sam, watch. The first one he denied. He didn't remember. Once he denied 3 times and the cock crowed the second time, Jesus looked at him and said, I'm not telling you. He now began to cry. My God said, don't worry. Just acknowledge that denying was wrong. That is all. So our determinations don't work. But if we can just wake up and use our mouth, do you get my point? And constantly declare of the Lord. This is what I say of the Lord. He is my fear and my dread. I'm not afraid of PDP. As me, I'm a politician. Why did I talk about that? Yeah, it's good. I'm not afraid of PDP. There are politicians that are afraid of PDP. Some are angry with them. I saw Patu told me, what's his name? Buhari. Atiku, all of them gathered against PDP. Some are afraid of PDP. But if you enter into politics, you will go and say, only the Lord is my fear and my dread. I'm not afraid of poverty. One of my colleagues when I was serving said his greatest fear in life is the fear of poverty. That's why he was still. And in truth, that's what happened to him. He wasn't stealing. By the time he came for NYC, he was a Catholic young man. He believed that life after conception is sanctified. There's one word I'm looking for. Anyway, it's holy. Therefore, no touch. By the time he finished his service, he was a master abortionist. Any pregnancy, bring it, he will remove his money. Why? Because his greatest fear was poverty. Are you getting my point? His greatest fear, he used to say it when we discussed, say, the thing he fears in his life more than something else is poverty. And no, I said, poverty can't be your greatest fear. my greatest fear in life is that I will do something and I will not be in the, the Lord will look at me and say, but Banky, I told you that's not the way to do it. That's my greatest fear. My greatest fear, even Paul said it, is that I'm afraid that I've been running in vain. So he said, let me go and check so that it won't be that I've been preaching what God did not command anybody to preach. That's my greatest fear, to be found in a place that's not pleasing to my Lord. So when we are calling God names, when we say, the Lord is my shepherd, those are the things we are saying. Believe me, that's number one prayer that we must pray as believers. Can we rest to our feet, therefore? Let us pray our prayer of consecration again today. Let's just begin to give the Lord thanks. First of all, let's thank him for the faith that we have in Christ Jesus.
Before we begin to declare and consecrate ourselves, I just want to remind us of who we are or who we should be. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he doth shall prosper. It says in Psalm 92 from verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Psalm 34 says, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. He says, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he might see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So the man that wants to prosper, the one that wants the Lord to encamp around him, the one that wants to bear fruit in the season, he says, come, let me teach you the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That way, the fear of the Lord will come upon you. That's where you become a righteous that will flourish in the courts of our God. That's where you live a flourishing old, you live to a flourishing old age. Your life will be fruitful. Your life will count. Your life will make meaning on the earth, because you do not sit in the seat of the scornful, you do not walk in the ways of sinners, but your delight is in the law of the Lord. And the law says, keep your mouth from speaking evil. Walk in the path that leads to righteousness. Let us open our mouths and begin to pray to God tonight. That Lord, I want to be that man that bears fruit in this season. I want to be that man, that woman that will bring forth his fruit in due season. I don't want to be like the fig that was cursed, Lord Jesus. I don't want to be the one that doesn't bear fruit, Lord Jesus. But every time, every season, in season and out of season, I want to bear fruit. I want to keep my mouth from speaking evil. I want to keep my lips from speaking guile. I want to walk in the path of the Lord. I want to depart from evil and do good. I want to seek peace and pursue him. Bible says, to him that is pure, all things are pure. All things are pure. To him that is pure, all things are pure. Father, I want to be pure. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like you, Lord. Help me, my Father God. Change my heart, O Lord. Make it ever true. Make it like yours every day. Let there be an unveiling as I seek you, Lord. As I seek you, Lord. Father God, I cannot walk in that path, O Lord, my God. I don't know when sometimes I can sit in that seat of discomfort or walk in the path of sinners. But as you guide me, Lord, as you guide me, I can retrace my steps. I can retrace my steps to walk in the path of righteousness, because I'm a righteous being, because I've been made righteous by Lord Jesus. When I accepted him as my Lord and Savior, he cleansed me and made me righteous. He cleansed me and made me whole. And so I am a righteous being now. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Yes, Lord, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. I'm planted in the house of the Lord. I even bear fruit in my old age. I bear fruit even now. I bear fruit even now. And I continually bear fruit, not just for myself, that I might be a blessing. I'm a blessing to my generation. I'm a blessing to the next door neighbor, my classmate, my employer, my employee, my parents, my friends. I'm a blessing to all those. There's a song we used to sing, anything I touch is blessed. My hands are blessed. My hands are blessed. My hands are blessed. Father, we thank you. Just give him praise, give him praise, give him praise, give him praise. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we give you praise.